On the night of August 8th, 1969, the Manson family cult murdered actress Sharon Tate and four others in her home. 2 years later, Ed Sanders provided an insider account of the Manson family murders in the classic bestseller, The Family. In his new book, Sharon Tate, A Life, he revisits the horrific scene and sheds new light on not just Tate's death, but also her illustrious life. Even as an unknown, Sharon Tate drew the spotlight with her good looks. She blossomed as a beloved cult actress, starring in films like Eye of the Devil and Valley of the Dolls, but that was not enough. She wanted to be a star. The name again of the new book is Sharon Tate, A Life, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Ed Sanders to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Glad to be here.
What led you to this story initially?
I had a rock band in the 60s. It broke up in 1969. I got a personal contract with Warner Reprise to do albums, and I did an album, and I flew out to California to hand in my album to Warner Reprise, and it was right after these ghastly murders had taken place. This was September of 1969, and I heard a lot of gossip among the recording and music community about who had done it and how they had done it. And then I went back to New York, and 3 months later, this strange dune buggy driving cult, the Manson family, was charged with the murders. And something didn't sound right. But so I was fairly well known at the time, and I got a book contract right away, and my wife and I and daughter went out to Los Angeles, where I spent a good amount of time during the next 18 months hanging out with the Manson family, the remnants, but also attending the trial and making a lot of notes and doing a lot of interviews. And then slowly I wrote, when I went back to New York City, my book, The Family, which came out in the fall of 1971.
You talk in the book about when you came out to Los Angeles that there were a lot of rumors flying around, as you just mentioned. Dennis Hopper, responsible for many of those.
He was living with Michelle Phillips, or maybe even married to Michelle Phillips, and Easy Rider had just been released, so he was a hot Hollywood commodity. Everybody's eyes were on Dennis Hopper. Anyway, he had said that there were some strange occurrences that had caused the murders. And so I started out with those and then branched out. And when I began investigating the actual remnants of the Manson family, and I quickly learned that they were the guilty parties. But the reasons why they committed these murders is still not quite clear. I became friends over the years with Sharon Tate's mother, Doris Tate, who was desolated by the murders. And she was like the ancient goddess Demeter, who roamed the earth looking for her daughter Persephone. And Doris Tate, whom I met, learned that I was writing letters back and forth to Manson to try to get information. And she asked me to nudge Manson to tell the real reason why they killed her daughter. She didn't believe in that it was to trigger off a race war, or she didn't believe any of the then popular reasons why the murders occurred. And so I did try to get information from Manson, but finally he cut me off. He said, "We know you are CIA." So he thought I was a CIA officer, which was good, because it meant that I probably had more power than he thought.
Quick timeline, how far into your investigation was that when he cut you off?
Well, my book came out in 71, and in the late 80s, I was going to do a 20-year anniversary update, which I did. And in preparing that, I decided to write to Manson, and he wrote back very hostile letters. So I wrote him back and told him to chill out, to calm down, that he should emphasize the Christian components of his personality and be more forgiving and open. And it worked. He began, and he answered a lot of my questions, but he never answered the one as to why Sharon Tate was murdered. And at the close of my book, Sharon Tate, A Life, I include a recent letter I wrote to Charles Manson asking him for a yes or no on a certain allegation about why Sharon Tate was murdered. I haven't heard back from Manson yet, but we'll see.
Why was it because they had one of the things that you look at, of course, and we'll get into the life of Sharon Tate, which is obviously what you focus on in the book, but there was a target on the home of Roman Polanski, and that was where Sharon Tate was living.
She was married to Roman Polanski for over a year, and she was pregnant with, about to give birth. And he was delayed in London working on a film, and she was back in Beverly Hills, you know, in their nice rented house and waiting for the child to be born.
So is there thought in your mind of a connection to Polanski in this?
No, I think he was just another desperate careerist in Hollywood. You know, he had done Rosemary's Baby, and had been a big hit, but he was having trouble doing a follow-up movie. Finally, he got a contract to write a Hollywood-level movie with a full budget, so he was in London trying to finish a script, and his wife was nudging him to get back because he was supposed to take birthing lessons, you know. And she had, the very day that she was murdered, the painters had painted the new nursery room, which is the room the murderers entered. They came in through a window of the nursery and on the way to kill Sharon Tate and the others.
What brought Sharon Tate to Hollywood?
She was an army child, and her father was a colonel in army intelligence. He had a big job. He was responsible for protecting nuclear missiles, finally, on the West Coast. But for a while, he was in Italy in the late 50s. And his daughter, she met a bunch of Hollywood actors in film productions and caught the bug. Her mother told me she had had herself a deprived childhood and she wanted the best. She wanted her daughter to make a lot of money and thrive. So Sharon Tate got the bug and determined to move to Hollywood. So her parents allowed her to move there right after she graduated from high school. And by 1961, she was in a Hollywood apartment, you know, and she was a stunner. She was the type of woman that made eyes flash with admiration. So she all her life she hungered to become a comedian whose acting powers were celebrated, and so that she wasn't so much as a good looker but a good actress. And so she fought her way through Hollywood up the ladder. She met Roman Polanski, but I don't think he helped her career that much. I think she was just a striver, and she had her mother the family moved near L.A. so that the mother was always there supporting the daughter. And she first was engaged to hairstylist J. Sebring, and then she met Roman Polanski on a movie in London while she was making Eye of the Devil. He of course was attracted to occult and macabre films. You know, he did a bunch of murder suffused films, and Sharon Tate followed. She did Eye of the Devil, and so she met Roman Polanski and they became a couple. And they were a hot couple, you know, with the success of Rosemary's Baby. And she was in,
Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls. And So she was rising up, and she was making the equivalent of like $1 million a picture, you know, with by 1969. And she, her final meal in August of 1969, she ate a sandwich, but only ate half of it because she was keeping her weight down because she intended to resume her acting career once the baby was born. They'd hired a baby caregiver from London who was on her way, I think an Irish woman, on her way to L.A. at the time of the murder. So this baby keeper would have taken care of the baby while Sharon resumed her career. And it was a great tragedy, you know, because she didn't deserve it, you know. She lived through the 60s, you know, she smoked pot and took acid and so forth. But by the time she was pregnant, she'd given all that up and was preparing to have a baby. And she was going to use the fact that she had a baby with Roman Polanski to reel him in order for them to have a more normal husband-wife relationship. You know, Polanski was a wild guy, and the 60s were the 60s with a lot of free love and sexual experimentation, mm-hmm. which they both took part in. But she was through with that and wanted to have a regular. She was raised, Catholic, you know, a military family with a very authoritarian father who was a colonel in the army. And so she was raised strictly, but experimented quite a bit in the 60s, but she only had like 6 years of Hollywood life, 1963 to 1969, and she was rising up and then cruelly cut off by this marauding group of murderers.
She was how old when she died?
26.
So in that time, she did accomplish a lot. Obviously, as you say, her life was cut tragically short. But in that six-year span of time, there were movies, and as I said in the introduction, that were had a cult following. But that was something she was not comfortable with. She wanted her career to grow much more.
Yeah, she was in that movie with Orson Welles, 13 Chairs, in 69, her final film. So you know she was rising up and was looking to do additional roles. And as I said, she was up to the equivalent of $1 million a picture by her final. You know, she was in The Wrecking Crew with Dean Martin and Valley of the Dolls with Patty Duke. And so she, through no fault of her own, I got to kind of admire her. I became friends with her mother. And her mother, we were on opposite sides of the political spectrum. You know, she was pretty far right, but I respected her anguish over her daughter. I visited her house, and it was like Buddhists put shrines up. Only instead of Buddha, it was her daughter Sharon pictures in all her glory and youthful beauty in her house. So she urged me to ask and nudge Manson to tell the real story. And I did some investigation in the 70s and 80s and 90s about the possibility that Manson was given a contract by somebody to kill Sharon Tate for $25,000. So I asked him in the letter at the end of the book if he was given a payment to kill Sharon Tate. And the reason that... These investigators thought that Manson was given a contract was because Sharon Tate had learned something about Ciaran Ciaran and the Robert Kennedy assassination and that she was killed because of that. Sharon Tate would be in her 70s now, and many of her friends are old and older, and some of them, her first producer, I mean, has diminished capacity, could barely remember anything. But I did talk to a number of her friends who are still alive, and I asked them if she was disturbed about anything toward the end of her life, and none of them recalled her being disturbed, you know, because there was a federal investigation by an Immigration and Naturalization Service officer that I talk about in the afterword to my book on Sharon Tate, who refused to say what it was that Sharon Tate had learned about Ciaran Ciaran. He said he couldn't divulge it because of reasons of national security. And then we arranged to ask him in subsequent years, and last time being 2004, if he could divulge what Sharon Tate had learned, and he still said he couldn't talk about it because of reasons of national security. So that's what I asked Manson at the end of the book. Did he take money to kill Sharon Tate? And please answer. And I gave him my home address in Woodstock, New York. So,
At the time of the investigation, was there a trail between Sharon Tate and Charles Manson? Any correspondence?
No. The only time that he was at the house where she was killed before Sharon Tate lived there, Terry Melcher and Candy Bergen rented that house. Melcher was the producer of the Byrds, you know, famous music producer. And Manson wanted Melcher to produce his album. Manson was the type of person that believed is all you needed to make a lot of money is to get a record contract. He didn't realize that there were 10,000 young men in Hollywood with record contracts, but that didn't ensure you'd have limousines. But Manson thought that all he needed was Terry Melcher to give him a record contract, and he was going to be more famous than Nat King Cole. You know, he was. So he went to the house.
But that was coincidence.
He went to the residence where Terry Melcher had once lived, which Sharon Tate and her husband subsequently rented in early 1969 to live in. And Sharon Tate was there being filmed by a friend for a movie on Beautiful Women. And Manson came to the door. This was March of 1969. Knocked, and the filmmaker answered the door. And Manson wanted Terry Melcher, and they directed Manson to the guest cottage on the house where Sharon Tate lived, because that's where the owner of the house, Rudy Aldabelli, lived. And Manson went. And Sharon Tate came to the door, and they may have locked eyes, Manson and Tate, but that's the only time I was able to discover that there was any direct linkage between the two. So, you know, I attended the murder trial, and all these highfalutin television reporters had the most bizarre theories about Manson and Sharon Tate and this and that, but none of it ever came to result or fruition. There was no evidence chain to link Sharon Tate and Charles Manson. But Sharon Tate's mother felt there was some reason that hadn't come up yet.
Is there a case to be made for it being tragic yet random?
Yes, anything is possible. Manson had been in Big Sur. He'd been up. He stopped off at the Esalen Institute, and he'd been up in Northern California, and came back, and found that one of his key henchmen had been arrested for murder. And so one theory is that in this murder, which I go into in my book, the killer family member who had killed wrote in blood on the wall of a house in Topanga Canyon. And one theory is that they decided to write in blood in Beverly Hills to throw the police off and think there was a copycat killer. But there's no real reason. After 40 years, after 50 years, almost 50 years, there's no positive linkage as to a reason why Sharon Tate and the others were murdered. but it's an interesting story because Sharon Tate's life stands as a beautiful story of the American dream and how cruel fate is.
Ultimately, what do you hope people get from the book about this woman's life?
Cherish your loved ones and always be aware of your surroundings. You know, there's nothing that she could have done. I guess, I guess if you remember the NRA, that she could have had an AK-47 there pregnant and, on the divan ready to shoot. But other than that, there's no sane way to ward off a marauding group of murderers, whether they're ISIS or Manson or Richard Speck or the other killers that have dotted the American story.
The name of the book is Sharon Tate, A Life. It is published by DeCapo. Ed Sanders, thank you very much for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Sharon Tate, A Life. It is published by DeCapo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.